This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting from Los Angeles as huge waves are crashing onto the Outer Banks in North Carolina. This is where we start on the show. So many people worried about the 10 trillion gallons of rain that's going to be dumped on North Carolina, and that number is scary, and that's what it's about. It's about the rain, the flood, the path of Hurricane Florence. The good news, if there is good news in this, is it's a Cat 2. So no longer a Cat 4, Cat 2, which means some of the winds, some of the potential damage, maybe not as great. Of course, if you tell me a hurricane and a wall of water is coming my way, it still is bad, right? So people have boarded up houses. I have friends that have left the area that live in Raleigh, friends that live in Charleston, friends that live in North Carolina, really good friends who I know have gone inland because they weren't going to take a chance and didn't want to deal with the aftermath as well, wondering if there would be power, if something were to happen to the houses, etc. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that they got out. And I thought about this today. I don't know about you, but if it were me, and because I've been through a tornado and a hurricane, I would be apt to step out. I would go inland. That's exactly what I would do. Why take the chance? Seems just absolutely crazy to me to take that kind of a chance. We're going to bop in a couple of different directions because Florence is on everyone's mind. People tracking the storm, looking at the path, looking at the ways that I mentioned. You know, this is radio, but smashing onto the Outer Banks. It's a beautiful area if you've ever spent any time there, and you could see how it could easily get slammed. The houses right there on the shoreline, of course. You know, that's the thing. In the meantime, while that's going on, the U.S. F-22 fighter jets intercepted Russian bombers near Alaska. Now, these are things you don't really necessarily think of every day, but these are things that go on around us that are happening. And some of the details that I got from somebody this morning is you had our Raptor fighter jets that were sent up for the two Russian TU-95 is what they're called, TU-95 jets. And so basically what they did, and they're bombers, what they did is they intercepted them west of Alaska, and they just, you know, there were flanker fighter jets, and they just stayed in international airspace. There was they didn't enter into the United States or Canadian airspace, but we were there to make sure of that. And it's the second time US F-222s have intercepted these bombers off the coast of Alaska this month. Did you realize that? I don't know if I talked about that or not. The last time it was September 1st, during the other intercept, the 95s were not escorted by Russian fighter jets. This time there were these fighter jets there. So yeah, I'm just saying, it makes you wonder, what's that about? Is it just a show of force? I mean, Russia's conducting a large-scale military exercise in the country's east. They call that the largest, they're saying, Moscow saying it's the largest drill since before the end of the Soviet Union. So, you know, there's some doubt on, I don't know, what's happening here. Even our own military has talked about the abilities of the new Russian weapons, and they say they're in the midst of a massive state armaments program aimed at equipping their forces with 70% new or modernized equipment by 2020. So if you think about that, that makes sense that they're skirting the edge, you know, by doing what they're doing. And so I say, wow, pretty incredible. All right, how about this story? This is a story that I brought up on the air that you know, our satellite facility. I'm in Los Angeles now, but in Dallas, this was a big story, but it made huge national news. Terrible story. Dallas police officer Amber Geiger says she shot and killed Botham Jean after she thought she was entering her own apartment. She didn't realize she was on the wrong floor. She's charged with manslaughter. And this happened several days ago over the weekend. Both apartments are identical, similar floor plans, just like any kind of apartment buildings are these days. And he lived in 1478. She lived in 1378. He was alone when she got off of her shift, 15-hour shift, entered the apartment. She walked toward what she thought was her apartment. She used her door key, which had an electronic chip, to try to get into the apartment. The door was a little bit ajar when she went to it. It opened under the force of the key, so then the rest is history. She said her verbal commands were ignored. She fired shots at him, hit him in the torso, called 911. Obviously must have realized what happened. He died at the hospital. Just a horrible, horrible story. So there's a lot of outrage in Dallas. And the cop, like I said, has been charged with manslaughter. And then, of course, the conversation could be about the shifts, you know. I mean, doctors work long shifts. How many of us work long shifts? So you're listening to me, you might be working a long shift. And then are you operating any kind of heavy vehicle? And in her case, 15 hours, gets off, just happens to be the wrong floor, and it turns into a nightmare that changes everyone's lives connected to both of these people, and including themselves. He dies. She's now up for manslaughter, and maybe worse, because there's a push to say that she should be charged with something more than manslaughter. So we'll watch how that case plays out. And next week we're going to have somebody on familiar with the case to talk about that and what happened there. Let's move in a different direction. So we've talked about the storm. We've talked about Hurricane Florence hitting the Carolinas. 3 days of this is what we're going to get. We talked about this horrific thing in Dallas, story in Dallas that has affected people connected to those involved in it, and just a sad story, to be honest. And then there's this story about and it's kind of it's kind of attached to what's going on with Florence. There have been these conversations about what's going on with these pallets of water. And I happened to see a news story on this when I was traveling. 20,000 pallets of bottled water untouched in Puerto Rico. FEMA dumped the stockpile. They needed it. And they were brought in after Hurricane Maria. Because, you know, you had people without power, roofs, running water, all that kind of stuff. And the feds in the area left it there as a staging area. They left the water and all that stuff there. And the supplies are still there. They're saying that the water wasn't good or something about that. Or maybe it's just lost in communication, because that doesn't make any sense to me, because the bottled water is bottled water. So now you're seeing these pictures of it and you think, get to those pallets of bottled water. I guess 700 pallets had been distributed, and people complained about the water's smell and taste. But I'm just thinking, the way the water was wrapped, that doesn't make sense. But either way, now the stockpile is out and everybody's seen it, and you think of what's happened on that island, and hopefully they deal with that. I guess the heat, time and heat made it bad, and who knew, but unfortunately it didn't get delivered. But what an eyesore it was to see that. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on America Tonight.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
good old-fashioned comfort, get Diamond Gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's Gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond Gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Tonight, you're going to love our next guest. He's in our virtual green room right now. I bet he didn't know that he was going to be parked in a virtual green room, but that's another story. His name's Eric Greitens. And, you know, this guy is a recipient of the Purple Heart, the Bronze Star. He was named the U.S. Navy Officer of the Year, served as a White House Fellow. If you go back to 2013, Time Magazine named him to its list of 100 most influential people in the world. And what I love about Eric is, you know, certainly his service to our country, but what he is doing for fellow vets, what he has done to help so many. And now he's got this brand new book, Resilience, Hard-Won Wisdom for Living a Better Life. Eric, thanks for popping on with us.
Kate, it's great to be on with you, and I had a great time in the virtual green room.
Well, we spared no expense, so I'm glad to hear that, Eric. Thank you. So tell us about the book. Specifically, what did you want to drill down that people could latch on to and perhaps, whether they served or not, what they could pull away from this?
Well, you know, the book, Kate, is really about the fact that we can all build resilience in our life. And we all know people who've had to deal with tragedy, and we've seen that some people can be broken by it. Other people actually emerge stronger. And resilience is the virtue that enables you to get better when things are hard. So we know that there's a path through pain to wisdom. We know there's a path through fear to courage. There's a path through suffering to strength. And all of that can happen if we have the virtue of resilience. And so the book is really about how you, in a really practical way, start to build resilience in your life, in your family's life, the life of your team, the life of your community.
Yeah, it's and certainly you took some of what you went through and were able to apply, you know, like you say, building in the face of pain, comfort, fear, and achieving excellence. And one of the key things you point out, too, which I thought was so great, because for some reason this is kind of, I know there's organizations that do it, and I know there's people that find these people, but how important is it to find a mentor?
Oh, it's absolutely absolutely critical. You know, one of the things that I say in the book is that there's a difference between knowing that and knowing how. Now, knowledge you can pull from books, but if you really want to know how to something and you want to know how to live well, you need to have a mentor, and you also need to have models. You need to have role models in your life. And so one of the things that we do in resilience is we talk about how do you actually create role models for yourself? How do you find mentors? And what does a good mentoring relationship look like so that you can, as you're trying to pursue excellence in your own life, as you're trying to work through chaos, difficulty, change, and maybe a transition, if you're, you know, leaving college or you've lost a job, or professional athletes who are leaving the game, people who are retiring, when you go through these transitions, having mentors and models always helps people to become stronger.
Yeah, and we should roll this back and tell everyone too. As I mentioned, obviously your service to the country, and what you do in the book is you actually show the bonds of these letters that were written by you to a former Navy, to a former SEAL comrade, basically, who was battling something that we talk a lot about on America Tonight, and that's post-traumatic stress disorder and dealing with depression, alcoholism, looking at jail time, all of that kind of stuff. And what did you find, and what were you trying to do in your letters?
Okay, yeah, these were all letters to my friend Zach Walker. Now, Zach was a tough kid from a Northern California logging family. We went through SEAL team training together. And after the training, Zach did a deployment to Afghanistan, comes back home, is kind of welcomed home as a hero, buys a concrete pumper, starts a small business. He's a good father to his two young kids. And then his life was just hammered by hardship. His brother died. He lost his business. He drove his truck into his house, into his driveway one night, gets out of the truck, drops to the ground because he thinks that there's a sniper watching him. Stays there for hours, and then gets up, runs into the house, and realizes he has post-traumatic stress disorder. And then what happened, Kay, was that he started drinking, and Zach did nothing in moderation. So it's not a six-pack, but a cooler full of beer that he's working through on the weekend. And he called me after he'd been arrested. So now you've got the guy who was once the Navy SEAL war hero has come home, and he's an unemployed alcoholic on disability who's looking at the possibility of having his kids come to visit him in jail. We talked that night after he called me. I got home. And I started writing him a letter about resilience. He wrote back to me. And the book is a series of 23 letters from me to my friend about how, in a really practical way, you build resilience. So we talk about mental toughness techniques. We talk about how you deal with pain. We talk about, as we talked about, mentors and models, how you build a sense of purpose. And we draw from all of this wisdom to help people who are in a tough spot really get stronger in the face of that difficulty.
Wow. Yeah, and I love it. I love the way you started that and how you went through it, as you said, that relationship and what happened to him. And I mentioned this at the beginning that you do so much for veterans. You're the founder of The Mission Continues, which is an organization to help veterans, to empower them, basically, to be able to thrive, to serve, to lead in communities. And what have you found since you started The Mission Continues? Where are you now?
So, you know, this started, Kate, when I was serving in Iraq on my last deployment on active duty. I was a commander of an al-Qaeda targeting cell in Fallujah. Mm-hmm. My team was hit by a suicide truck bomb. I was very fortunate. I was taken to the Fallujah Surgical Hospital. I was treated there. I was able to return to full duty 72 hours later. But a lot of my friends were hurt far worse than I was. And when I came home, I went to visit them. I also went to Bethesda, to the Naval Hospital, to visit with some recently returned wounded Marines. And in talking with all of them, I recognized that they all wanted to find a way to continue to serve. They all wanted to rebuild a sense of purpose. They wanted to build a new kind of team around them. So I donated my combat pay from Iraq. Two friends put in some money from their disability checks. And we decided in the beginning that we were going to try and change one life by helping someone come back and continue their mission of service here at home, working with organizations like Habitat for Humanity, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Clubs. And what we do now is we work with veterans around the country, with thousands of veterans, and we help them to take all of the skills that they learned in the military, all of that tremendous sense of camaraderie, their ability to inspire people in difficult situations, their ability to push through obstacles and to achieve missions, and we help them use that so that we can build stronger communities here at home. And it's really been a fantastic thing to watch it grow. And of course, you know, a lot of what I learned about resilience, I learned working with these men and women over the course of these last 7 years.
Yeah, wow, that says something for sure. You know, and you mentioned that you said you were fortunate after, you know, the bomb happens and you're treated and then you get out, etc. And you see, and this is part of what the book is about, what's happened to so many with PTSD. Are we making a dent in this? Are some changes in the veterans organization overall helping?
I think we are. I know we're making a difference if the mission continues. In fact, we just had a wonderful study that was done by an outside researcher who looked at our veterans who came into our program, and half of the veterans who joined us who had a diagnosis of depression, after 6 months, Kate, after 6 months of working in the community, of building a social network, of seeing that they still had a purpose, that they could still be engaged in the community, these men and women, many of whom had traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, physical injuries, lost eyesight, limbs, been burned. They came out and half of them did not have a depression diagnosis, and that was just after 6 months.
Wow.
And so what we know is that these things do work. And I think what people find hopeful about resilience is that, you know, this is honest about the fact that life is going to be tough and life's going to throw pain at you and you're going to have to deal with suffering and hardship. It's also the case that there are a lot of reasons to be hopeful, and there's a lot of wisdom that's out there that we draw from to help people when they're in these tough spots to make it through.
Yeah. Is that what keeps you going, the success that you've had, that you've been able to build on with all these years with your program?
Yeah, it's one of the things that does keep me going every morning, was that, you know, waking up, running the mission continues. We know that we had a mission to work with this incredible generation of men and women who are coming home, and we could not only help them to live more fulfilling and productive lives, but by helping them, we knew that we were also creating stronger communities. And, you know, for me, and this is one of the things I write to my friend Zach, is that you have to build a sense of purpose in your life. A lot of times, people get overwhelmed by questions of how. You know, how am I going to make it through school? How am I going to find another job? What am I going to do when I retire? They're overwhelmed by these questions about how. One of the things we talk about in the book is how you develop your why, how you develop your sense of purpose, how you develop your sense of vocation. And one of the philosophers I quote in the book said, if you have the right why, you can make it through anyhow. And that's one of the reasons why building that sense of purpose is so important.
Yeah, boy, so well said. Pick up the book. The book is called Resilience, Hard-Won Wisdom for Living a Better Life, just dropped. Eric Greitens, thanks so much for coming on the show, and continued success with all the great work you're doing.
Hey, thanks, Kate. Great to be on with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent. The flooding in North Carolina is underway as massive Hurricane Florence slowed down at its outer bands lashed towns on the barrier islands and on some of the Tar Heel state's rivers. FEMA Administrator Brock Long.
As the system's encroaching on the coast, the wind field is expanded. These wind bands that far precede the center of circulation are going to start pushing water up against the coast, but more importantly, up the Back Bay and inlet area.
What makes Florence extremely dangerous are the deadly storm surges, mammoth coastal flooding, and historic rainfall expected. Problems with a high-pressure gas main apparently to blame for dozens of fires in Essex County, Massachusetts. Florence Mayor Dan Rivera launched an emergency response.
The people that live in South Florence, if they smell or gas or see fire, they should evacuate their home.
At least 40 homes across three communities north of Boston have been damaged. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Virtual green room. Very excited to talk to him because he's got an interesting take on Braveheart, one that I think is going to blow you away. You know Braveheart, right? You saw Braveheart, you watched Braveheart. He's going to tell you the real story of what really happened behind Braveheart. He's the executive producer of In Freedom's Cause. It's interesting because it's a terrific audio series. And it puts the Christianity, frankly, back in the tale that somehow was whitewashed out of it. Wow. Bill, thanks for coming on the show. Before we get into it, I got to just ask you this question. You know, I know that you've worked with her. Joanne Froggatt won a Golden Globe for her portrayal of Anna Bates in Downton Abbey. You'd be kind of proud of her. She's a great actress.
Yeah, very proud, Kate. Thanks for having me. She is great. She was great to work with, and she picked up on the character that we needed her to play right away. So it was pretty amazing to work with her, and then I was overjoyed to see her get that because just being around her and as a Downton fan myself, I think she's just one of the exceptional actresses out there today. So good for Joanne, right? I mean, she's amazing. And she's amazing on Downton. She's amazing on our In Freedom's Cause production.
Yeah, she's got a great voice. There's no question about it. She, along with the other actors involved in this, telling different stories. You know, William Wallace, of course, if you look at the movie portrayal, that just wild and crazed and protecting Scotland and his family and all of that. But you never really heard much about Christianity. And you say that's one of the things that's missing, and that's what you do in Heirloom Audio. Explain that.
Well, yeah, we don't like to push Christianity into places where it doesn't belong. I think we've all seen examples of kind of cheesy Christianity done. But I think at the same time, you make a great point. What's happened in our country, really, is that the textbooks at school and our mainline media has pretty much sanitized history of any type of Christian character, especially. And so I think when I look at someone like William Wallace, Robert Bruce, I love the movie Braveheart. But when we started to do some research about this, I mean, it just kind of blew me away because this guy, I mean, if you look at Mel's rendition, he's kind of a barbarian, right?
Yes.
I mean, he paints his face blue and he's a troop rallier, and certainly he has some passions and all of that. And I think to some degree, Wallace did have that. But when we dug down to try to do the story, because we wanted to get the story right, we found out this guy was an intellectual. We found that he spoke 4 or 5 languages. He was able to write letters to the Pope in Latin, you know, with a kind of an appeal for transcendent freedom for the Pope, saying, hey, this the attack that I'm experiencing, that we're experiencing in Scotland, it's evil. And, you know, he called on the Pope to sort of see that there's a God above that actually decides what's right, what's wrong. And that would be the kind of the final arbitrator in his mind in battles like this. So a little bit of a harbinger with respect to some of the things that we see in our government and kind of the way that Tommy Jefferson and the other boys attacked George III, you know, kind of a transcendent attack on him, a covenant, a lawsuit, if you will. But anyway, we found out Wallace was, of course, he was a big man. They say he's unlike Mel, maybe, but he was about 6'6", 6'7". The sword's on display over there, so he was certainly capable of fighting. But he was also an ambassador. He was also someone that was extremely interested and capable economically. He had a mega sense of macroeconomics and was concerned about trade in Scotland and so forth. So as we put these pieces together, we really found quite an individual that had an amazing character. Now, let me tell you about how he grew up. He had an uncle that was a priest. He went to a Christian school. He was inculcated with the faith. He had a psalter when he was very young. And it's my belief that many of the decisions that he made in his life were affected by how he saw the world, how he saw God, how he saw men, you know, sort of his anthropology and how he viewed things. So much so that if you fast forward all the way to the end, you know, it kind of gives you a story about, you know, how the whole thing ends. His last request, he's got a horse on each limb. He's going to be pulled apart in London, right, because he was betrayed. And he says, can I read my Bible? Can I read my Psalter as you're pulling me apart 4 pieces? That's a man of faith, and that's a man that began with a sense of faith and who ended his life with a sense of faith.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I'm a big history buff, and I've never read that either. I mean, you really, like you said, you dug around, and you could find that, but it wasn't in any textbook I read, and certainly it wasn't in the movie, as we're talking about. And you haven't, you know, before that, you've got another story that I think is really interesting, too, because I'm always fascinated by him, but Sir Francis Drake. I mean, because he's really the dude that was known as the first English guy to circle the globe and defeat the Spanish Armada.
Yeah, Drake ended up being one of the greatest characters that I had ever run into, and I knew a little bit about him, like you, but I didn't know a lot about him, and what I found out blew my mind. Think about Drake just with the example that when he sailed and defeated the Armada, you have to realize that Pope Alexander had given North America to the Spanish. This was Spanish territory, and it was the Armada that was protecting the sea lanes and protecting the fact that it was Spanish territory. Almost single-handedly, this guy, with a handful of ships, destroyed the largest naval force on the planet. It'd be like some kid from Vietnam if he had, you know, a bunch of small boats taking out the U.S. Navy. I mean, it's just off the charts, weird, and almost impossible. But he did it. And in severing those lines, in cutting off that artery of Spanish hegemony there in the Caribbean area and right around Florida, he allowed the colonization. That's what allowed the first colony in Augustine, Florida, Augustine, I guess you could say, and then Jamestown later and Roanoke. And people don't know he helped start the Roanoke colony. So Drake, without Drake, you don't get George Washington. You know, that's, you just don't get a United States without him. So I kind of consider him a founding father of sorts.
Yeah. When you put these together, I listened to some of this. The thing that's really wild is this isn't just great actors kind of portraying parts. You feel like you're really in the middle of it. I hear like kind of creaking noises, and I feel like I'm in Scotland. You know, it's just wild. What did you do to make this come to life?
Yeah, thanks. That's a great point. What we did was we took the – I decided that I wanted everybody in this particular case to go – to the fields where the battles were fought, and I wanted my staff and the people in our group to be able to walk where Wallace walked and to see the sites. And so we went there, we took everybody there, and we spent a number of days before we went to London to do the recording. But you're exactly right. When you hear a door opening up or shutting, for example, more than likely that in a scene, that's the door or the castle and the abbey or whatever, where that actually happened in history. And it's the door where that, you know, the situation where it really was. And it's a lot of the space that you hear someone walking down a corridor, that's something in Scotland that's exactly the place where the scene called for. So we're not rich, you know, not like a Steven Spielberg or somebody. So this was kind of a production that's very limited, but inside that limited production, we tried to make it the best possible production that we could make.
Yeah, good for you. You can really tell. And you've got, so you had Under Drake's Flag came out in 2013, In Freedom's Cause 2014. What's next?
Well, we're tackling a difficult subject. We're tackling Robert E. Lee and the South's battle. And
ooh.
So we're kind of, you know, here I am sitting in the land of Lincoln. You know, and I'm willing to say with a lot of folks that there's a sense in which Abraham Lincoln was a great man, but I'll also say he was a dictator. I'll also say that with my friend Thomas Woods, he's a guy that has a lot of problems. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but if you disagreed with Lincoln, if you said, for example, hey, you know, only 7% of the South population had, this was according to the 1860 census, had slaves, and it was dropping all the time. Do you think if we waited a few years, it would just kind of take care of itself the way it did in England, and it would be voted out and be made illegal by the southern states? Anybody that said that, Lincoln would just throw you in jail. He put you in prison. So I think, but yeah, scholars differ, between 13 and 20,000 people went to jail for just disagreeing. And I found out this, Kate, the other night, Francis Scott Key's grandson, right? The guy that's the National Anthem,
yeah.
His grandson went to jail for just disagreeing slightly with Lincoln about such things.
Wow. Wow. Oh, we can't wait for that one.
Yeah, thank you. So we're going to try to deal with this very delicate subject of slavery, which needed to be abolished. And I'm a Bible banger, so I say that, you know, man-stealing carries a death penalty. But at the same time, a guy like Robert E. Lee, for example, he didn't buy any slaves. He inherited slaves. So,
right.
You know, you can't pluck people out of their historical context and sort of, you know, make them chatty Cathy, give them a little bit of a political correct thing to say all the time, because it's just not fair. So that's a tough one. We're working on the script right now.
All right. If you want to get a copy of it, right, then go to infreedomscause.com, because that has everything pretty much there.
It does. It's got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. If you want to see the greatness of Joanne Froggatt behind the scenes, and as well as Judy Cosmo, who's in Braveheart, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the trailers and all that are there for you to watch, along with some of our Scotland scenes.
I love it. Bill Hyde, thanks for coming on. We'll have you back on again. Enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Kate. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal,
will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
November, that's coming up. Smokers across the nation take part in the American Cancer Society's Great American Smokeout event. And this is the time when you say to somebody that you know that smokes, encourage them to use that date to make a plan to stop, quit, whatever, in advance and make it that day. You know, quit that day. Even for one day, it's a big, big step. So joining us now, he's in our virtual green room, Scott Fallon. He's a health policy consultant. I mentioned this already, based in D.C. And here's the key. He spent more than 40 years involved in issues related to tobacco and public health. Scott, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Kate.
Do you feel when I was looking at the numbers, and do you feel that it's encouraging, according to the CDC, that the U.S. smoking rate has dropped down to 15.1%, and that's from 2015? Do you feel encouraged by that?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. I mean, when you look back many decades and look where the number of people who were smoking was well over 50% of the adult population. So we're making tremendous progress, but we got a long way to go. In terms of numbers, there are still 35 million adult smokers out there, and they are dying every single year. They're, you know, the smoking remains the number one preventable cause of death in this country. 480,000 people die each year because of smoking. And so we can do a better job. We need to keep our efforts going. You know, we've got taxes that discourage people from purchasing cigarettes. We've got clean indoor air laws that don't let you smoke in public places or even in parks anymore. So we're making progress, but there are some other options and strategies I'd like to talk about on today's show.
Yeah, so some of the alternatives, right, are non-combustible forms of tobacco and e-cigarettes. That, and haven't they helped in dropping the smoking rate?
Yeah, they're beginning to help. And earlier this year, the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, said that the FDA is going to take on some new initiatives to add to its already, multiple arsenal to take on the cigarettes smoking issue. One will be to try to reduce the levels of nicotine in cigarettes. So that will mean reducing the addiction. But there must be, as part of that, alternative products that could be available to smokers. And these are the non-combustible products. I have to remind people that it's not the tobacco that kills you, it's what you do with it. When you light it on fire, the smoke goes into your lung, and that causes the cancer, the heart disease, and the stroke. Now, there are new products out there, and there have been some on the market for a long time that are non-combustible, and you can get a cleaner form of nicotine that will reduce your risks of those diseases. And that's where the FDA wants to be headed, with allowing these products on the market and encouraging people to look at that as another option for reducing their smoking risks. And, you know, this is all going to take some time, but a lot of people, including myself, after having been in this for 40 years, are very excited about this option. It includes e-cigarettes that I think many people have heard about, but it also includes other smokeless tobacco products such as Swedish snus, and also some newer products. One that's being, it's a heat not burn product. It's tobacco, but it heats the tobacco, doesn't burn it. And that's at the moment going to be considered by the FDA starting in January for making that product available to the public, hopefully sometime next year. So there's a lot of exciting things going on out there. You know, a lot of us who have been in this business for a long time want to see smoking end. We think that's the major cause, and we can do more to step up our efforts. The Great American Smokeout is one way to do that, but these new strategies that the FDA is looking at are even better.
Yeah, and so sadly, in some states, while we're seeing there's having this great effect with, you know, smokeless tobacco, e-cigarettes, all that kind of stuff, like California and Minnesota, they have these new laws that are kicking in that ban retail sales of flavored tobacco products, whether combustible or not. But I know this has worked for people I know. Why are flavors so important for smokers trying to switch to the alternatives?
Their flavors are not allowed in cigarettes, and I think that's a major step forward. But they should be allowed in these alternatives. They shouldn't be in flavors or marketed that may entice young people to take up the habit or try these products. There are many things that we as adults use that are flavored, and they're marketed appropriately, pharmaceutical products, et cetera, foods. And this has to be worked out and worked through. But a blanket ban of flavors, I don't think is the right approach. And FDA has said that they want to sit down and have a open dialogue sometime next year to work through these issues on flavors. In order, you know, a person, an adult who wants to use these alternative products isn't going to use them if they taste terrible. So you've got to make these consumer acceptable products, but you also want to keep them out of the hands of children and adolescents. And personally, having been in this business a long time, I think that can be done if all the various stakeholders sit down at the table and work through some of this stuff. I know a lot of these state houses and local city councils are, you know, sort of jumping on the bandwagon to ban the flavors, but I think they need to take a step back and look at the pros and cons of it and see this dual approach of giving adult users the option for buying these products while keeping it out of the hands of kids.
Yeah, what among the, you know, 40 years is a long time to be in the business. You obviously know a lot of people, have a lot of conversations. What do your counterparts say? What are they worried about?
you know, it's interesting that the tobacco industry, if that's – my counterparts are really the tobacco industries, and they've changed dramatically. They are the ones that accepted FDA oversight. They are the ones that are now investing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into developing these newer science-based products that are going to have to be approved by the FDA. So there's a potential change in the air. It's a very different environment than when I first worked in this area, when the industry fought tooth and nail against practically everything we tried to do. Probably your older audience may remember the seven CEOs of the tobacco industry standing up before Congress swearing that nicotine was not addictive. Now everybody accepts that, the industry accepts it, and I think this is an opportunity for some real progress to make some changes. I wouldn't say we should trust the industry 100%. I would never say that, but I think that now that we have an agency such as the FDA providing oversight to them, we have some opportunities to make sure what we do has a benefit to public health.
Yeah, and I started this talking about the fact that we have, and you've seen this now for a long time, the Great American Smoke Out, and at least that's a step in the right direction, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a reminder. People have, in many respects, after the FDA got jurisdiction, and even when there was a big settlement between the industry and a lot of lawyers back in the late 90s, people have become complacent about cigarette smoking. They think the problem has been solved and it's going to go away. Now, that may be true in some places like New York City and other places where the laws are much more stringent, but in many states, particularly in the states of in the South, the smoking rates are exceptionally high, and you've also got a lot of people who are very poor smoking cigarettes because they're addicted. I have to remind people that we spend $300 billion a year in health care costs and lost productivity. We shouldn't be spending that. As taxpayers, we're paying for it. So we have to do more to help those people in those areas and places where they're still smoking, where they're addicted, and they don't have the means to quit. The Great American Smoke-It has been a tremendous initiative all these years, and I've watched it and been a part of it. But I think that the environment is changing. We have some new opportunities to take advantage of, that we can actually rid this country of combustible cigarettes, hopefully in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I agree. Scott, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have you on again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, good information. Talking about what is an interesting day and where we are as far as the smoking rate and what are we seeing with these alternatives, as he was talking about the non-combustible forms of tobacco and the e-cigarettes and, actually what so many people say, how it's helped them quit smoking cigarettes. And initially, that was one of the reasons why many of these companies were formed, because of trying to kill off that habit. So the FDA, the conversation with the FDA, and what's happening in these various really states and how they're deciding on what they're doing moving forward has been really a fascinating process to watch. All right, hang with us, everybody. Much more coming your way on the flip side here on ATN.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.